Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Biblical Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And today is Wednesday, June 19th, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 34, reading and commenting on the second paragraph only for those who are unable to drink moderately. Today's readers are Sarit L. for the 12 Steps, Kathy Jo P. for the 12 Traditions, Pia S., and Penny L. C. Our newcomer greeter is Janice P. M., and we have some announcements from Reggie O., so please stay tuned for those at the end of the meeting. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, June 18th, is 13048. That's 13,048. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, June 19th, is 13054. That's 13,054. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarit L. to please read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute, please.
Hi, Sarit L.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, Sarit L., thank you. Here are the steps. One, we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Sarit L., and I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Kathy Jo P. in Minneapolis, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, I think I messed up here, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn in public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Kathy Jo P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 34 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are reading and commenting on the second paragraph, and I will ask Pia S. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Pia S., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Sweden today. And I'm going to be reading here. So for those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And this is huge, this a paragraph for me. And I've been looking at it very closely, and I felt it was very difficult to really, you know, get into what this means. So I had to like pull it apart a lot. And I think, because I just found it a little bit complicated. It can be due to like some language issues as well, but it's definitely huge, this paragraph. It tells me that if I'm a real compulsive overeater, I have no power over when, if I want to stop eating, I can't. And it doesn't matter if I have great character or the necessity or the wishes. It is now, those things are no match for this disease. And I need a power that is greater than myself. I need spiritual tools to become recovered. And then when I put the food down, I discover that the food or the lack of control over the food is just a symptom. It's just a symptom of deeper issues. And the deeper issues for me is a connection and wanting to belong and wanting to matter and, you know, wanting to feel that I am enough. And I can see that I created so much havoc and chaos in my life, and I had no idea how to deal with it. I saw that I was causing destruction, and it was easier to see that when the food went down, because my eyes were open when that the food thoughts, you know, were more quiet. So when I found program, I knew that this was what I needed. I needed to do the steps to get a relationship with God, and because God was the only, you know, the only thing that could help me with this. There was nothing else that I could turn to, and so today, God, I have a working relationship, God, in my life, and it's through these steps and this fellowship that I'm able to stay recovered and live a much better life than I've ever thought was possible. So thanks, Elaine. Let I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Pia, and thank you for doing service even from Sweden. Wonderful. So who would like to comment on that second paragraph on chapter, on page 34?
Janice P.M.
Therese L.
Janice P.M. Sharif L.
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Jenica.
Jenica.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. I had somebody else. Thought I heard one more voice. We do have room for one more. But we'll kick off with this. Sounds great. Thank you so much. I've got Janice PM, Charisse L, Melanie C. Jenica, I will need the first initial of your last name, Julie EB. And anybody else want to jump in there while we're before we start?
Penny LC.
Dorita P.
Hi, this is Betsy.
Penny LC, Dorita P, and I didn't quite get Ope and Betsy. Okay, so we'll stop with that. Sorry, I went over my normal starting lineup, but let's go ahead with this. We've got the first two for the second lineup. So let's just start with Janice PM, Charisse L, Melanie C, Jenica, I'll need the first initial of your last name, Julie EB, Penny LC, and I have Dorita and Betsy for the second cue. Okay, so please go ahead, Janice PM. Thank you so much for your service.
Yes, and thank you so much. And please, you can check time me because I'm a little off on my timing here. Yes, I'm Janice, PM, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. For those who are unable to drink moderately, well, I finally found out that I could not drink moderately. I started to, but my disease is progressive. I wanted to be a normal eater, but I was unable to. So the question, then tell me how to stop altogether. And altogether means, you know, I could stop a thousand of times, but I couldn't stay stopped. Now, of course, it says, you know, we're assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Well, I had the desire to stop until I lost 100 pounds or till I got thinner for the wedding. I couldn't do. I couldn't quit. When I quit smoking, I don't have another cigarette. I mean, I quit. I stopped. I hate to say the word forever, but sorry, folks, but it is forever, because once a compulsive overeater, always. But see, I didn't know that. I thought, well, gee, don't tell me forever. God, I'll never do that. But we don't say that. I'm just saying that that's how it is now, that I know in my head. You know, I do it only one day at a time. I may not live forever, because I know I won't. You know, I'm going to live one day at a time, and that's when I'm going to ask for help. So that's the desire, to stop. you know, the red light, there's a red light, we stop, but then the yellow light comes on and you can proceed. But in this, in my disease, I cannot stop on my own power. I can't choose that. It wins out all the time. The disease wins out all the time. And that's why my mind has to be healed through a power greater than myself. And of course, we know that's that comes through these 12 steps, no matter what kind of an urge I have to cease forever. It's impossible for me to do that through my experience. I do not have the ability. I'm confused. I'm frustrated by the bafflingness of this disease. And with that, I think I'm all set.
Pass. Yes, you are, almost to the second.
Thank
there.
You.
Thank you so much, Janice PM. Teresa, you're up next, followed by Melanie C.
Hi, this is Sarit L. Thank you for your service, and welcome to the newcomers. So much packed into this paragraph that I think we can all relate to being in these rooms. There's a tremendous urge to seize forever. I mean, how many of us have written down in our diaries, like I have, you know, tomorrow's going to be the day, and I'm never going to pick up this food again, never, because I know how hurting it makes me feel today. And it's just the next morning, it just, you know, we're back right in, and it reminds me of in Bill's story where he says about the remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next day are unforgettable. Like, he's back in that place, and then he's up and running. We're our own worst enemy, and we found it impossible to stay stopped. And so we don't have to try to figure out why. Because it's a baffling feature. The big book tells us it's a baffling feature of alcoholism. It's a progressive disease, and we're here to recover because on our own, we can't do it. Our mind will send us back each time. So we need that spiritual solution, and I need it. And I see I'm right now post-birth, and I have two friends who delivered the same time. And I look at them, and they look like they were never, ever pregnant. And one friend told me that she has a problem. Her problem is that she forgets to eat. Every time she walks into her mom's house, the first thing her mother does is she has to prepare her food because this woman forgets to eat. And I look at her mind-boggled because that doesn't make sense. So I am comforted when I come into these rooms. I know I belong here because I remember hearing someone else share that she was wearing maternity clothing for a year post-birth. And, you know, I can do that. Thank God I'm living in recovery today, and I'm not slim like they are, but that's not my goal. That's not my goal for today, because I'm a different person, and I am living on a spiritual basis, and recovery has to come first. 12 steps have to come first because I cannot control the food, and I have a mental problem that will tell me each time that I can, and I can try it this time. But my experience and all of our experiences have brought us to these rooms. It's our experience that proves time and again, you know, where we're holding. Like, can you stop? You know, try it. The big book never tells us that, you know, you are a compulsive overeater. It tells you from your own experience, prove to yourself if you're a compulsive overeater. And I can say that, yes, I have a tremendous urge to seize forever. I've tried. It doesn't work. I'm here. I'm doing it with you. Thank God I'm here. And with that, I'll pass.
We're glad you're here too, Sarit L. Thanks so much for your share. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Jenica, whose last initial I will meet. Thanks.
Hey, good morning, Elaine B. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon today. I'm going to just put an exclamation mark on what Janice and Sarit were saying, because it seems to be that we're on the same page. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. You know, that equals willpower. I have enough willpower after all, because I had been able to tell myself that there were several things that I had done just on sheer grit, you know, to get things done. And the countless times that I had dieted and lost 100 pounds before coming into recovery here certainly took that, didn't it? And after all, I had stopped so many times before, just because I decided that that's what I wanted to do. there's so many times that I can't even remember how many times it was. But what am I missing here? You know, it's the idea to stay stopped. It was impossible for me to stay stopped, but it was also impossible for my mind to get around the idea that what I had done before and all that effort and earnestness did not equal that I have the disease of compulsive overeating. It didn't equal or match the idea that once I had entered into this realm of the spirit and applied the steps to move me to being open for that realm of the spirit to have access to me, I was never going to stay stopped, and that I was in a different classification. Different classification. I had to come in here to learn that. I had to be in a place that I came here once more with my tail between my legs asking for help to be there and do that sort of thing. I was utterly unable to do this. My God was so tiny and so small that I found that the pull and the drive and the desire to just save my soul from that, whatever that feeling was much more and much greater. I don't know. I was in a bind, a huge bind. I wasn't going to be able to go here and I couldn't stay there. And what in the heck was I going to do? There were so many forces going and working within me with this reckless and dangerous behavior that I had going for me. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I came here with all that baggage all bundled up and said, help me. Help me, and then surrounded me with folks that held me so close, that kept me accountable, that I could get a few days so the fog could clear, so the blackout could be lifted, that I could see again that little ray of hope, that little teeny tiny light. And that was the God that was built upon to bring me to where I'm at today. I just had to stay in the company of what was here, whether I believed it or trusted it or not. That was not the qualification in order to get the light that was built upon to be a shining beam at this particular point in my life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Jenica, if you could please give me the first initial of your last name before you share, and you're going to be followed by Julie E.B.
Thank you. This is Jenica N. N as in Nancy.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be on the meeting today. I'm from the East Coast, but I'm in California today, so I'm grateful for a meeting at a reasonable time. And what strikes me about this paragraph is just the question to myself, what have I lost the power of choice in? And certainly, in the food arena, I have lost the power of choice in whether or not my whatever it is inside of me, my disease is going to look at food and try to, and my body, and just try to control it. I recognize that really that disease that sort of lies latent inside of me is one of control and just like needing to, you know, always be in control of that, of having it or not having it. And so that's like an allergy. It just turns on when I am, if I go off my food plan, or if say I get the thought in my head that, oh, I'm all right. I don't need this. I'm not that bad. And then that thing turns on and I've lost the power of choice. And then it also just made me think about what other things I've lost the power of choice in. Like, I really, really would like to be able to control how I act and control how I feel. And I have these memories from when I was young and really felt like I was really good at controlling things, and really got what I wanted out of, you know, my plans. And today, I just don't. I don't even have that for like one day. I don't even know if it's even a choice anymore. It's just like, it just doesn't work. And I find that the only way that works to do one day at a time in of anything, and to have a peaceful life is to really surrender and ask my higher power to guide my day. So I think that's all I have to share on this paragraph. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Jenica Ann. Glad you're here. And Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Penny L.C.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, out of Colorado, also in California today. Very grateful for this spiritual program of action, and grateful that it can be accessible to anyone, whatever they call spiritual. I was just thinking when I saw the ocean yesterday about the sponsee that worked through and just had that ocean as their higher power, that something larger than themselves. And it just was such a blessing for that person. I mean, assuming the reader desires to stop, you know, I thought I wanted to stop many times, but what I really wanted to do is to be something I wasn't. Yes, I had a physical image of what that looked like, but actually the stronger image I had was just to be someone I wasn't, not in my own skin, not the way I deal with my emotions, my thoughts, my feelings. And so this is a very powerful section for me because, you know, who knows if I could quit on a non-spiritual basis, but I certainly, every time I thought I was quitting, it was that harsh inner voice. I call it my lower power. You know, it was full of fear. It was full of anger. It's like, I got to do this. It's full of force. It's very violent, and it's very, very much about just kind of trying to terrorize myself into a place where I could be a restrictor. But then the rest of my life would go nuts, and I'd find myself having these emotions pop up everywhere. Food was down, but these just unreasonable ways that I would act. So, you know, had I lost the power to choose? Yeah, and when someone helped me find my abstinent ingredients, behaviors, and foods, starting with the foods, but really getting down to the ingredients and behaviors, I've lost the power to choose. I don't eat with my fingers. That's not an abstinent behavior for me today. Most people can just grab things. I can't grab things today. I've lost the power to choose that I can not eat for a period of time because I was a severe restrictor, and I've lost the power to choose that I should eat in between. I'm, quote, hungry, because most of the time that has an emotional background, spiritual hunger is what I'm feeling, to be enough, to be enough. So, yeah, I thought I had plenty of character, but actually inside, I didn't have true character. I didn't have a grounding that I was a precious, growing, unfolding child of the universe and that I could learn truth from
gentle
fault,
reminder.
And I could act each day. So I have an utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And that's true of my foods, my character defects, and everything else in my life. So I thank God for my higher power. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Penny L.C., you're up next. And after you, we're going to take a lineup. We already have two people on it, Dorita P. and Betsy Q., but we're going to be commenting on that. We're on page 34 and more about alcoholism, commenting on the second paragraph. So please go ahead, Penny L.C.
Thank you. Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this paragraph leads me to questions so that I can ask myself and identify in again, you know, do I have the desire to stop? I thought I did. Time and time again. Every time I started a diet, I thought I had the desire to stop eating my binge foods and eating compulsively. Well, what was the truth of that, though? The truth was, I wanted to lose the weight and actually still be able to eat what I wanted to eat, when I wanted to eat it, as much as I wanted to eat. So my reality of my addiction and my compulsive overeating behaviors had to catch up with my thought process, because my thinking wasn't matching my reality. So I can ask myself again, thinking about all the times that I dieted, each one of those was quitting on a non-spiritual basis. I had a human plan of how to deal with this disease, but that was, you know, based on physical and mental changes, not based on anything spiritual. So then if I ask myself, how was that working? How was I doing with that? Well, my track record wasn't really great. You know, I couldn't tell you that I had had any long-term success at all. And this utter inability to leave it alone. Well, do I have the ability to leave it alone on my own power? I really don't. And this disease had to convince me of that. And it took what it took to get me there, to get me to that place of desperation, to get me humbled enough that I was willing to seek out a different way, a spiritual solution that could work under all circumstances, under all stresses and strains in my life, no matter what was going on, no matter what life presented. And I thank God every day that I have found what works for this compulsive overeater and the freedom that I am blessed with one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. We have room for about 3 additional shares after Dorita P. and Betsy Q.K. Who would like to share?
Dorita
O.
Dorita
M.
Okay,
I heard Janice. I'm sorry, I'm just going to ask you to start again. I heard Janice H.
Janice O. O is an Oscar.
Oh, Janice O. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I never heard Janice. Okay,
Mo
2 more. Mo H.
Jean J.
Patty T.
Jean J. Patty T, if we have time for you, then I'll have
Martha T.
We'll see. They'll see you. Okay, the lineup is full. And not sure if we'll have time for all of you, but we'll do our best. Dorita P., Betsy Q., Janice O., Mo H., Jean J., and Patty T. So please go ahead, Dorita P. I thought I had heard a Dorita P., last lineup.
Oh, can I be heard now?
Yes, we hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita P. from Cleveland, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or wish, I needed to lose weight. I was almost 300 pounds, so I needed to lose weight. I was developing health issues. I developed some blood clots that was due to the weight, and also I was on birth control pills for a long time, but it was the weight too. And the blood clots started in my legs and was traveling to my lungs, and I couldn't breathe. And that was just one condition. And so I needed to lose weight. It said, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And I wished to lose weight. Like I said, I was almost 300 pounds, and I didn't want to look that way. I didn't want to be that way. And besides being obese,
you know, just that inability to control my eating or to control my weight. I mean, it almost drove me crazy, you know, trying to not eat this or not eat that. And I don't have to do that today. I'm so grateful for this program. So, you know, I eat a certain way, and I don't have to try to not eat that way. It's almost now like I eat that way naturally. And I just want to describe it like this for any new person who could relate to this. I tried to, I said this to a newcomer, and I heard an alcoholic say, well, he was, he had had several strokes, and he had to learn how to walk again, and he was on a walker, so he used the walker, tied a bag to it, and went to the store. He was on a mission to get what he needed. You know, I needed to eat before I was able to stop. I needed to eat, and I described it as, you know, I was on a mission too. You know, if I decided I was going to eat, I was going to eat. And I don't care if a baby got hit by a bus. Yes, I would pick the baby up and take the baby to the hospital, but as soon as I could get away, I would, and I would continue on my mission to get what I needed. And so I'm just really grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dorita P. What a story there. Okay, so Betsy QK, you're up next, followed by Janice O. Betsy? Star one to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Betsy QK, a recovered bulimic compulsive overeater. And the nature of this disease for me is that, you know, the reason I'm in 12-step programs, specifically in Overeaters Anonymous, is because I don't have the ability to stay stopped or at different points to even stop. I had lost that ability. And it was very frustrating. And I, too, spent many years coming up with new plans, new ways. Even in OA, I came up with new food plans, new this. I'm going to work this tool harder. I'm going to do that. And none of that really works until I surrender. And then I continue on to take care of the, you know, the nature of my disease, which is that I have a spiritual malady, physical addiction, and, you know, a mental illness, you know, around food and around the inability to deal with life on life's terms. And what I experienced, you know, is that there's no bottom. There's no bottom for me. You know, just when I think I've hit a bottom, there's another bottom. It's just a bottomless pit, this disease. And the only way out of it, you know, an inch at a time, a day at a time, is for me to ask God for help and then be willing to put myself out there to other people and to listen to suggestions. Because I'm really good at coming up with my own plan, and I'm really good at being an island. I heard somebody else on the line today talk about connection. Connection with God is great, and I can feel God, but I also need to be willing to be vulnerable and put myself out there for connection with other people over and over again, no matter how many trust issues I have, because I have a lot, you know. And then also just to take responsibility. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And that can even look like, you know, emotional behavior, things that I want to change, you know, doing things to try to get people to do what I want them to do so I don't feel frustration, pain, sadness, anger. So just being present today and being willing to do things differently a day at a time with the suggestion and the help of the people in this program and with God's guidance is what keeps me sane. And when I feel insane, you know, that's when I've been taught to pause. Just pause. And wait a minute, you know, or wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes and just rest. I've learned how to rest in God. It's taken years and years and years, but I've learned rest in God, not in the food. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, there we go. Well, thank you so much, Betsy. QK. And Janice, you're up next, followed by Mo H.
Sorry, did you say Janice O?
Yes, I did. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. This is Janice O, recovering because I'm in the steps to become recovered, to have those 10-step promises come true. A compulsive overeater from San Diego. I love this. Thank you, everybody who shared. I'm new to the Vision Group. I'm here about 3 weeks, and thankfully, for the first time in my life, I have, today is my 12th day, of abstinence from all of my binge foods, which is a true miracle. And I say the first time because I started program about 30 years ago, and I've never been able to get completely abstinent in my food because this paragraph says it so perfectly, is because that desire to stop. And I thought I had the desire to stop. I love how people were sharing. I had the desire for the shit to stop, for sure. My weight, I had the desire to stop being in pain. I had the desire to stop, being so out of control. I had the desire to lose weight. But the desire to stop eating those foods, I did not have. I was praying before I found a vision for you. I was sharing in a meeting how I so desired, because I love the Big Book. The Big Book has had me recover. Well, the Big Book is my passion, and I know it's the only thing that works. And so I was praying to find a group of people who say they are recovered compulsive overeaters. And as I shared that, because I get, I'm ready, I'm finally, the food has beat me into a state of reasonableness. I was in so much pain, and someone walked up to me and talked about the visions meeting, and oh my God, I just started, and this person had suggested me listen to a couple people, and I had just like sobbed. It was like, oh my God, I'm home at last. And I know the time, and it's funny because I called somebody on the line, and she said, call this person and have them help you find your binge food. And I did, and I thought, really? I'm really going to have to. Anyway, but I know,
gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'm just so grateful that I have 11 days. Today is the 12th day. I have 11 days abstinent. And because I finally got to that place, and I know that I'm only abstinent right now until I finish the steps, because I do need to recover. Thank you. And I'm done.
Okay. Thanks so much. Mo H, you're up next, followed by Jean J. and Patty T. I don't think we're going to have time for you, but we'll see. Okay, Mo H, please go ahead.
Good morning, Elaine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. This is Mo H, recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. Great meeting, great shares. Thank you very much, all. Thank you, Elaine, for your service and all those giving service today. So for those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. How to stop altogether. So I wanted to lose weight and be able to eat my food. That was my desire. Yeah. So, we are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. So my desire wasn't to stop. My desire was to lose weight, to look good, and be able to eat my food. And but I tried, like everyone else said on the line so far, I tried 100 different forms of ways to do this. And I even tried in program, using the program as a diet group support. It did not work for me. It wasn't until my sponsor said to me, you need to put down your alcoholic foods and your yellow light foods that are red lights in disguise forever. Yes, just for today works to get me through today, but forever. I cannot think that I can have that food tomorrow because what I think sometimes happens. My thoughts become my actions. So there was a tremendous urge, you know, like it says here, to cease forever, but it's impossible until, with spiritual help, as I heard others say on the line, once I connected with my higher power and with a loving, kind, compassionate understanding, And once I decided that this is it, I am done with the peanut butter, it's no longer an option, it's out forever, done, I had neutrality around the food. Now, how that happened, I can't explain it. But I did, I worked the steps like I was told, I did everything I was told, and now I am, my gift is to carry the message, is to give it back and to be there for others. And I so enjoy being there and carrying the message for others. So I think with that, I'll stop. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Mo H. And Jean J., you'll be our last share for today. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Jean Johnson in Portland, Oregon. And I'm recovered today. I do not eat sugar or flour, and I measure my food, except in social situations. And I never in the world thought I would be here. I have beat my head against the wall for years in the 12-step rooms, 15 years, and then all my life. And I'm a woman of a certain age. I was born into addiction. And just a tough nut to crack. Never a 100-pounder. Fat enough to wreck the party, pushing up to a 100-pounder 1 year. And also every problem that you hear in the rooms. I was defiant. This business of following directions, oh, you can just buzz off. You know, I'm not going to be doing that. I'm an educated woman. I'm not going to follow blindly. And plus that, we all have control issues, and I don't trust anything. Just the other thing is, here is someone that loves fill in the blank as much as I do, and you're going to take it away from me? Oh, no. So very much resisting that I could not be a normal eater. And I joined the crowd. I don't know how it happened. You know, thank heavens for the goodness of the universe that wants us all to heal, and that I have finally come into a place of acceptance of who I am, and the patience and humility and all that good stuff to begin to look around at others who have found some relief and freedom and go, well, you know, maybe. But it had to be percolate up organically, naturally for me. I just had every problem in the book. And if you were here looking at my big book, in the margins, for instance, on page 23, somehow they often suspect they are down for the count. I mean, this has been my story for years. So to everyone out there that is trying to find the key in the lock, you know, I say it is there, and the universe will help us find a way. And if I can help anybody at all, I'm always available for phone calls. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Jean J. And again, I'm sorry, Patty T., that we didn't have time for you and others who wanted to share today. Thanks for everyone who shared. And we'll now transition by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read a vision for you?
Thank you, Elaine. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and this is the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until